The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. It's page 1153. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administrations, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Our second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 17, and can be found on page 1085 of the Bible. John's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 20. Jesus is praying. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
At the end of the month, I'm going to be appearing in a pantomime down at the United Reformed Church. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, I'm afraid I am. And as you can see, this year we're putting on the Three Musketeers. And for those of you who don't know the story of the Three Musketeers, and of course you won't be any the wiser if you actually come and see the show, I can tell you that the Three Musketeers are Athos, Porthos and Aramis, and they're part of the King of France's company of elite swordsmen who are sworn to protect the king and his kingdom. And the musketeers are joined by a young newcomer, D'Artagnan, who soon becomes one of the king's swordsmen and a friend to the other three, so that their small group now become known as the Four Musketeers. And they have a catchphrase which quickly becomes their well-known tagline, all for one and one for all. Let's say that again, all for one and one for all. You'll be pleased to know I don't play one of the musketeers. Now, even though they are all musketeers and have the same purpose, which is to protect the king, they each believe that they are somehow better than the other, be it a better swordsman, or stronger, or a better fighter, or they might be more attractive to the ladies. So every now and then they end up fighting amongst themselves rather than concentrating their efforts on what they're supposed to be doing by working together, using all their skills for the common cause of the king and the musketeers. In our first reading today, we heard how the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, was teaching them about how the church should be working together in order to serve God and making Jesus known to those who lived in Corinth. Some of the Corinthian Christians believed that God had given them better spiritual gifts to serve him than some of the others. And this led to disagreements and falling outs amongst them, and upset on the part of those who were being told that the gift that they had been given wasn't as important as some of the others. So Paul was writing to tell them all that all gifts are important, and no one gift is greater than any other. Every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. And all of these gifts are intended to be brought together so that it builds up all members of the Christian community. They're not to be used for selfish purposes, but for the benefit of all. Now, Paul goes on to use the example of the body to show how each part of the body is necessary for the body to work properly. So, a quick test. Who can tell me where their appendix is? Helen, stand up. Show me where the appendix is. I think it's actually, well, according to that, I think it's a little, yes, you're right, it is, it's down there. It's at the end of the large intestine. Now, the appendix is a strange part of the body, because it's not really fully understood what it actually does. For most of us, we're probably not even aware that it's inside us and that it's working. And it's only when something goes wrong with it that you need to worry, because usually when that happens, you have to go and have an operation to have it removed. But in those cases, once it's been taken out, everything seemingly carries on as normal and you don't even miss it. And Paul says, even though you can't see some of the parts of the body, especially the bits and pieces inside you, like the appendix, they are just as important to you as, say, your arm or your leg or your eye, which you and everyone else can see. And he goes further. He says, well, the body wouldn't be able to function if it consisted of only one type of part. So you can imagine, if you only consisted of an eye, how would you be able to talk? Or if you only had arms, how would you be able to walk or play football? No one part of the body is more important than the other. We need them all to function properly, no matter how important, like the appendix, they might look. So can you imagine how a football team would play if they only had one type of player? Just think, if all the players wanted to be strikers and play up front and score the goals, then who would remain in midfield or defence to stop the opposition from scoring their goals? Hopefully Arsenal are listening to that. Or if you all wanted to be goalkeepers and stay in your own goal, how would you ever score goals with anyone else up front? Again, hoping Arsenal are listening to that. So you need to have the correct balance of different types of player to make the team play properly. All of the players have an important role to play. No one, whoever they may think they are, Cristiano Ronaldo, is more important than anyone else on the pitch. And it's exactly the same for the church. We all, each one of us, has skills and talents and spiritual gifts given to us by God to be used in serving him and others around us. We have differing gifts. We're not all the same. But that doesn't mean that anyone in the church is any more important than anyone else, especially the vicar. Just think what it would be like if we came to church on a Sunday morning and no one had dusted or tidied up in here. After a few weeks, we'd be beginning to feel a bit uncomfortable. Or if we had no one to work on the projector or the sound system, we wouldn't know what the words are for the songs and we wouldn't be able to hear what people up front are saying. We wouldn't be able to have communion if there weren't people who were prepared to get it all ready beforehand. Our grounds and our gardens would look untidy and uncared for if we didn't have people who came along and weeded them and cared for them. Just because there are people standing up here at the front on a Sunday morning doing things which everybody can see doesn't mean that we are any more important than those of you who faithfully do your own thing behind the scene without anyone being able to see. We are all called to use our God-given benefit, or a God-given talent or spiritual gift for the benefit of everyone else. Now, there's a phrase which might sound a bit strange, and it's this: unity is diversity. It's not conformity. And what that means is that although we are called as a church or as a community of Christians to be unified, that is, joined together in what we're doing or what we feel God is calling us to do, we are not all called to do the same thing. We're not robots simply carrying out the same job. We are diverse in that we have been given different skills, different spiritual gifts to carry out the task that God has given us as Christians, be it here at Christchurch or at school or at work, on the football pitch or the netball court. As the body of Christ, we need to bring all of those different gifts together so that our differences, those diverse range of gifts, can be used together as a unified body in order to carry out the task ahead of us. So, for example, reaching out to those who live or work around us, what we might call evangelism. The idea of knocking on a stranger's door and telling them about Jesus is probably terrifying to most people, and it's way out of their comfort zone. But that's fine. because that may not be the spiritual gift that God has given to you. But there are others to whom God has given that spiritual gift. But what maybe God has given you is the gift and a heart to pray for others. So maybe your role in that evangelism is to stay behind and to be praying for those who are going out knocking on the doors, or praying for those who are going to answer the door. Or maybe you've got a talent for producing leaflets that can be put through people's door to let them know that we're going to be knocking on the door. Or maybe you're good in admin and you can work out which is the best roads to use and when we should be doing which roads at which times. All different gifts, but all being used in a different way, but importantly, all for the same purpose of serving God. Working together in unity, using our diverse gifts and talents, all sharing equally in the service to God. But of course, a common purpose needs to be commonly held and supported in order to be truly effective and achievable. If we're pulling in different directions or trying to do different things, then we are not going to be united in our common goal. We have to bring all of our diverse gifts and talents and spiritual gifts and use them together for the same purpose. So, for example, do you want to make passionate disciples for Christ? Because if half of the congregation say, yes, we do, and they want to reach out and make passionate disciples for Christ, but the other half just want to stay here in church, in the room, in the comfort, making the place look really nice just for us, no one else can come in, then we're not working in unity. We are instead potentially going to become divisive. And that isn't behaving like the body of Christ is meant to do. In Jesus' prayer that we had as our second reading, he was praying for his disciples that they should be brought to complete unity in order to let the world know and to show the world that God loved us so much by sending Jesus into the world. Jesus was asking that in the same way that he and God are one, the disciples and those of us who have followed on down the ages should also be one, both in God and in each other, united in a common purpose, a common love, and a common unity. So in conclusion, we have to remember that we are each one of us special. We, each one of us, has a part to play in the life and work of Christ's church. No one of us is any more important than anyone else. We're not expected or called to do everything on our own, especially the vicar. But as the body of Christ, united as one body and one church for the glory of God, now and always, we are called to be united in our purpose. So our challenge for today is to consider this. What gift do you want to use for the furtherance of the kingdom? What ideas do you believe that God is giving you that will benefit the church as the body of Christ, enhance our worship and our service to God and to others? Don't keep those spiritual gifts and those ideas to yourself, however bizarre or radical you might think they are. Because those spiritual gifts, those ideas have been given to you to be shared, to be tested, not stored up and hidden away. So finally, may our prayer and our cry today and always be all for one and one for all. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would. And we're going to join together in a prayer of commitment. A prayer of commitment, not just for ourselves, but for us as the body of Christ, that as we go into, as we are now in 2020 and we go through the year, we will be united in our purpose, in our own personal service for God, but as a church, that we will be united in our service to Him. So I'm going to invite you, when the words come up on the screen, that we'll say these words together. I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you, or laid aside for you, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.